Hey, I just wanted to mention, that we have breaking news as we talk here today. But this comes as no surprise.
No, I was going to say, this is not surprising. It was necessary.
Wendy Bell's here. Let me read this. In each Catholic church, schools, and many homes, we find a crucifix, the symbol of our Catholic faith. It speaks to us of the profound truth that our Lord Jesus offered up his death on the cross to redeem and heal us and open for a new beginning. Thus, the church sings in the liturgy, O crux ovis unica, our cross, our only hope. Do you want to jump in here, Wendy?
Yeah, to the people experiencing, again, the deep pain of clergy sexual abuse, as well as failures in responding to those scandals, the cross of Christ is a reminder that from pain and sorrow eventually come hope, redemption, and new life. Yet this new renewal will come only by confronting this crisis head on, taking responsibility for the wrongs of the past, and committing to doing all that we can in the interests of healing, justice, repentance, and to see that innocent people and the body of Christ are never so grievously scarred again.
So words fail in describing the intensity of pain. This is from a World's blog. We're going to read through this one paragraph at a time. I think it's important. Words fail in describing the intensity of pain and wounds inflicted by sex abuse and other wrongs on the innocent. During the abuse crisis of 2001-2002, Pope John Paul II said that the cardinals of this country, because of the great harm done by some priests and religious, the church herself is viewed with distrust, and many are offended at the way in which the church's leaders are perceived to have acted in this manner. The abuse which has caused this crisis is by every standard wrong and rightly considered a crime by society. It is also an appalling sin in the eyes of God. Go ahead, Wendy.
Therefore, the U.S. bishops hoped, prayed, and believed that we had taken definitive action to end these wrongs, including creating the norms to facilitate the removal of priests involved in abuse in an expeditious and decisive manner. Many years before the Bishop of Pittsburgh, I had taken similar steps with a constant desire to end and prevent the horror of clergy sex abuse in a timely, just, compassionate, and protective way.
Go ahead, Wendy, please continue.
Despite that desire and confidence in what we bishops around the country instituted, the processes were not flawless, and I must acknowledge the profound heartache, anger, and distrust that have been expressed in the wake of the Pennsylvania grand jury report. For my shortcomings of the past and of the present, I take full responsibility and wish that I could wipe away all the pain, confusion, and disillusionment that people feel. And I wish that I could redo some decisions I have made in my 3 decades as a bishop and each time get it right. As I have said in a series of letters to priests in the Archdiocese, I hope you will sense something of my anguish for those who have suffered and my sorrow for any of my failures to be there for both the abused and all who now feel a sense of alienation.
In my heart, I now ask myself, this is the blog just put out. This is from Worrell, Cardinal Worrell. Is he in Rome? Do we know?
I don't know.
I don't either. In my heart, I now ask what is the way I can best serve this church that I too much love? At issue is how to begin effectively to bring a new level of healing to survivors who have personally suffered so much and to the faithful who have also been wounded by the shame of these terrible actions and question their bishop's ability to provide the necessary leadership. Thus, among the many observations I've received in discussions with others is that as part of that beginning of healing, the Archdiocese would be well served by new leadership, strong, to help move beyond the current confusion, disappointment, and disunity. Go ahead, Wendy.
In recognition of the ongoing need for healing of abuse survivors and the whole Church of Washington, I have proposed a season of healing that begins with a special mass tomorrow, September 14th, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. This liturgy, this necessary turning to God and his healing grace, will give voice to the pain and suffering of the survivors of clergy sexual abuse and failures in episcopal oversight, while also recognizing the pain and wound of the whole church.
Marty Griffin here with Wendy Bell. This is from CBS News Radio. This was an advisory just sent out from the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., Cardinal Donald Worrell's blog. This first step is in the necessary healing process for our church will be followed by my meeting with Pope Francis. Okay, he's not in Rome. About the resignation that I presented nearly 3 years ago on November 12, 2015. Those called to serve the church in a leadership capacity must recognize that we are to lead not only by word, but also by personal action. We must be prepared to do whatever is needed, including stepping aside. This action on my part is an essential aspect of the healing so that this archdiocesan church will, we all love, can move forward. Go ahead.
As a church, we also recognize that we are a people of faith and that we hope in the transformative power of Christ crucified and risen, and believe in the healing power of the Holy Spirit. And he ends by writing, "Thank you for your prayers, for those who have suffered abuse and other wrongs, for our many good and faithful priests, for our church, and for me."
Hey, this isn't shocking or surprising at all.
Just should have been, these words needed to be said a long time
ago. I agree.
And timing, it would have made such a difference to so many people had this been handled in a faster, more honest, more transparent way.
But that being said, because I agree, but every word is strong.
Yes.
And, you know, look what happens in Washington, D.C. with these sex scandal investigations. Look at the Mueller investigation. We're into pushing 2 years. Look what happened at CBS, how long it took to get rid of Charlie Rose's of the world. I agree with Wendy. This should have happened a month ago, maybe sooner. I want to jump in with this. This is a big deal. We're always here. We both knew him.
Mm-hmm.
I knew him.
Right.
I'm not going to disparage him. We're just different people. But I want the Catholics out there, your reaction. Worrell has resigned. Is this the step that you needed to trust the church again? Will you go back to church? It's interesting, Wendy. It has me thinking now, because we are very confused Catholics,
I know.
The Griffins.
I know. You've made that abundantly clear.
And you've been down the same path.
Yeah, I've gone once.
To the nth degree. Yeah. You've had some things happen that were astounding. So here's what I want to talk about this hour. So Worrell was mentioned, as you know, 200 times in this report. A lot of folks suggested he knew about a lot of this, and that he did. There was this dichotomy of information about him, that he did try to make some changes, but he did move people around.
Does this change how people feel?
And there's an amazing column in the Wall Street Journal that goes right with this, where they say they should change the law that any priest who's accused of anything like this should face felony charges.
Amen.
They can't be moved anywhere ever. There can't be checks written.
It's not working.
And the church has to say in their tenets,
yes,
if you're accused, we're going to the DA and you're going to be charged.
You're going to be investigated. And if you're found, you'll be charged. You'll be, yes.
Just like I would.
And you'll go to prison.
Just like I would.
Amen.
All right. So jump in here. Worrell's mentioned 2 times in the grand jury report. There's an amazing column in the Wall Street Journal that we also read. Worrell's gone. He resigned. Really significant.
Yes.
By the way, the words are strong.
They are.
And spot on.
And they needed to be said.
866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. Worrell is gone. Does this make a difference for you? Check back in. 866-391-1020. Here with Wendy Bell. All right, Cardinal Worrell. Look, he was mentioned 200 times. You know, my dear friend, and by the way, Amy, Wendy's dear friend, as well as Andy Sheehan with KDKTV.
Love, love, love.
The best journalist in this
town.
Yeah. Really, boy.
No question.
Like family to me. He says yes and no about Worrell. He says, if you really read the entire report, Worrell did try to reform, and he did. Conversely, it's also reported 200 times that he allowed people to be moved around.
Shuffled. Mm-hmm.
Not prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And wrote checks, which is sinful.
Mm-hmm. There's also this belief that people could be rehabilitated.
Right.
You don't rehabilitate that.
By the way, this is an unbelievable, significant point you just made. This guy seriously calls the show and says that was the belief in the 60s that you could fix these guys. It was never a belief.
Right.
You could fix a man who raped children.
Right.
That was the belief, the dogma inside the church.
Right.
In the real world where I live,
that's
and you
the disconnect.
Live, that's the big disconnect.
Huge disconnect.
Do you have that article in front of you?
I do, yeah.
Read the first couple of paragraphs. This is the Wall Street Journal.
So there's a woman here, Rachel, and I'm not going to pronounce her last
name,
says she has been victimized twice, first by an abusive priest, then by those who failed to remove him from ministry. In 2010, Father Jacob Bertrand sexually penetrated her, then 24, while he said a private mass in the basement of her Minnesota home. This grave act of sacrilege was also a felony. Minnesota is one of several states where it is illegal for clergy to engage in sexual acts with adults in certain pastoral contexts. That is what she says, victimized twice.
Right.
And that's what this has left in the in the minds and the hearts and the souls of so many victims. One, abused by a priest.
Right.
Next, ignored by the church. And that is almost as offensive.
No, no.
If not more, so I have to say.
It hurts your heart.
There's no legitimacy to your claim when you're shunned. And no healing.
And he finally addresses this in this message that we're not trusted.
But that's why I said that needed to be said.
No, years ago.
And this Pope needed to say this. Where is he?
And by the way, the Pope needed to fire him.
And the Pope, we talked about this last week, after all this blew up with this report, he called for silence and prayer. That's the absolute opposite.
And
he talked
about global warming.
We need to talk, not be silent.
And they need to fire a bunch of people.
Yes.
And we need to open the statute of limitations. And they need to allow victims to sue in Pennsylvania for 2 years. But instead, they lobby Joe Scarnati. They have $2,000 an hour lawyers. I know this for a fact, that lobby Joe Scarnati, who says this is unconstitutional. It's ridiculous. Hey, Wendy, let's take some calls here.
Let's
folks have been patient. Dawn on the South Side, jump in here, please, Dawn.
Yeah, hey, I seen that they're saying that the world's getting to
retire.
The Pope's getting released on him, okay?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. He was going to retire 3 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Is this all just wish-wash and all this stuff like that?
It is. It allows him
to,
I'll take Wendy's opinion. It allows him to walk away gracefully when he should walk into a jail cell, or he should be able to be investigated, or they should be able to sue him.
Well, let's remember why he issued his resignation. And our friend Patrick here in the studio just illustrated this. They have to at the age of 65, right?
They
have
to. 75.
I beg your pardon. 75. They have to issue these papers. It's part of the process.
Right.
And then the Pope has the ability to either accept or deny said resignation. So it's almost like, you know, it's not like he was tendering his resignation, saying, you know what, things have happened and I have a guilty conscience, or this is best for the church and our people. It was protocol.
No, she's absolutely right. And quite frankly, he would have stayed in office till he's 90. That was his thing.
This is his
thing. He's into the pomp and the circumstance. He's into the royalty treatment.
Right.
And by the way, I never liked that. But that's everybody's different. I'm not judging the guy. I'm just telling you.
I never got that feeling from Zubek.
No.
I don't feel
way
about David Zubek.
No.
But one must then ask what happens with him.
It's a relevant, pertinent question. It's absolutely. I'm going to text him in the break. Thank you, sir. Hey, Bill and Latrobe, jump in here, please.
First off, thank you, Marty, for taking my call.
Yeah.
I hope you're feeling better.
Well, we're on a road, brother. It's a road.
A real pleasure to speak with Wendy.
Yes.
My comment is very simple. Give to Caesar what is Caesar, and give to God what is God. So they're not above the law. They need to be held accountable according to the law. It's not enough that this man resigns.
I agree.
I'm a Catholic, a practicing Catholic.
Right.
I went to Catholic grade school, college.
This needs to be the first pebble that rolls down the hill. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I don't mean to be. I'm not trying to be vindictive.
Right.
But they have to demonstrate that they are not above the law. Nobody is.
Right. Or you're not going to get the faithful back. You're not going to be packing the pews as much
Spot
as you
on.
Want to say the church is alive.
Spot on.
You're not going to.
It's not even about packing a church.
It is
it's
to
about,
me.
It's about.
It is to them, too.
Yeah. I used to like the old days. I used to love the feeling in the old days when we would go to Sacred Heart Church in Groovy Side, which is absolutely beautiful.
Right.
And now you go there on a Sunday and there's 14 people.
Right.
And that's part of the problem. And we quit going. Truly, we're trying to find someplace else, but I'm thinking now. My boy, retired cop Ray, pedophiles are like cancer. They need to be eradicated or they will destroy lives. We're live here with Wendy Bell. World has resigned. Look, it's about time is what Wendy's saying, right?
Yes.
And what I'm saying is there has to be more.
It's past time.
Right. You have to do several things. You have to fire a bunch of bishops. The Pope has to come clean on his involvement and his knowledge.
You have to make fundamental change.
Right.
Fundamental change inside the church.
And you have to open the statute of limitations for 2 years in Pennsylvania and allow folks to sue and heal. 866-391-1020. Next. Hey, text us, KDK, at 866-391-1020. Text line brought to you by Wright Automotive, the best deal in Pittsburgh. Check this out. Worrell has resigned. Is that enough? And there's an interesting article in the Wall Street Journal, and Wendy Bell made some great observations. We will get to that right after the break. Woo! It's kind of a bombshell. Wendy Bell with me. I'm going to ask T to jump in here, too. Hang in there, folks. We're going to get to your calls. We'll probably carry this the rest of the day. It's a big, big deal. There's this poignant piece in the Wall Street Journal that Wendy's been pouring over, and it's a woman who was, she says she was
24.
Assaulted in her basement.
Mm-hmm. While a priest in Minnesota was kind of offering a private mass for her, which in and of itself is, I don't know, raises a little an eyebrow or there.
But back in the day, it wouldn't.
Probably
back in the
not.
Day,
it was 2010.
But back in the day, back in like in the 50s, you would if you would
no.
tell the neighborhood that you had a priest
the
at your house,
he was
like
a Hollywood
king.
Celebrity.
Exactly.
That was a king, yeah.
He was the man.
It was a big deal. And even, you know, when I got fired from my job, the first...
You got fired from a job?
Yeah. Have you heard about that?
At Wendy's? It was at Wendy's.
I got a knock
you
on the
Wendy.
Door.
You were Wendy. Oh, my God.
Such a weirdo.
Just hit me.
I got a knock on the door. And it was Father Bryce. It was our priest. And he stood at the door wearing his everything. And
oh
he opened up his arms.
Oh, my gosh.
And I melted into
no,
his
that's
arms.
Brilliant.
And it was so awesome. It was so meaningful. And he sat kneecap to kneecap with me in my kitchen. And it was so impactful. So you're right. Even in 2016... That was a big deal, you know?
I was talking to you earlier. We both have a significant past where we got in trouble when we were younger. I got arrested for stealing cars, and I was sitting on the church steps at Sacred Heart Church in Groovyside with Father Bill Housen, who changed my life, made me go back home and talk to my mother.
Right.
Honestly, he changed my life. He was excommunicated. And what I'm suggesting is there are priests that have changed our lives.
Absolutely.
But this changed many other lives.
Yes.
But the gist of this article in the Wall Street Journal is she wants the laws changed.
The headline, the little, you know, extraction here is bishops should push to make it a civil crime for clergy to abuse those over 18. And think about that. Civil crime. What does that mean? Opens doors to what? Litigation?
Right.
To
right.
payments?
To acknowledge
justice,
it and to push it.
To justice.
Almost part of a seminar when you become a priest. Hey, fellas, we're going to charge you. We're going to open you up to any kind of law enforcement. We're not moving you anywhere.
Right.
I got to do it. I want to drag T into this because you're not Catholic, but you're also a believer in take it fast and do it right, right? What? Give me your take on this Worrell thing.
Well, first of all, I was baptized Catholic.
Right.
And a priest was named back in 2012 from St. Lawrence O'Toole, where we were members back then, back
oh.
in 2012. Yeah, Father Graham was listed for such acts. However, so it hits home for everybody.
Sure.
It's not included in the Catholic Church.
No.
But Marty, at the end of the day, do you look at it and say, Cardinal Worrell, is that enough for Catholics? Is
well,
that
you,
enough?
What do
for
you
3,000?
Say though? What do you...
I say? You just got to go in. You just got to clean house.
Right.
And that's the same thing. People will come back to the church.
I believe you.
But they will come back just like Penn State.
No, it's a
all
great
this, so
point.
So I struggle with this, Marty, sending my son to Penn State University.
Right.
But you know, faith will overcome all of this. So you look nice. At it and you say, you know what? Let's go all in, clean house, and let's bring the people back to what made the church the Catholic Church. We have to start somewhere, Marty. And we need to start and we need to finish.
And what T suggests, and it's spot on, is that we inherently are forgiving. We
nice.
Really are forgiving. And but she's also right in saying they got to go in and they got to gut it.
All right, let me ask the two women
right?
in the room, and then I'll because we all three of us love David Zubik.
Yes,
I've known him since I was 13. Honestly,
I've yes.
one of my boys, and so I'm going to ask T, and then I'm going to ask Wendy, what happens?
He has to go.
He does. You think he has to go?
I think he has to go.
Why?
It starts at the top.
Yeah.
Marty, I mean, you can't finger point one person and exclude someone
nice.
Else because they're close to the Pittsburgh area.
No.
I mean, we just can't do that.
You can't make it about one.
I like him. It's not a personal. It shouldn't be personal. It should be what is the right thing to do. It hurts
it
because
does.
I love him.
I'm kind of scared
do.
Right now for him.
You're afraid for him.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
sure he's. And that's why we have to pray for the bishop. We really do.
Mm.
We have to pray for him. We have to pray, Marty. We sit here every day. We discuss this. I hear the phone calls coming in. People are broken behind this.
Hey, what do you say, Wendy?
I have a different take on the Catholic Church and on Bishop Zubik. I became Catholic in 2010. And when I went to St. Paul Cathedral and signed the Book of Intent, Bishop Zubik was there. And just like Father Bryce did the day I got fired, he was there, opened up his arms, and gave me a big hug. I was in love with that man. And our family went through a struggle this past year, and we needed help. And we needed his help.
You did.
We needed the diocese's help. And they shut the door on us, and it broke our heart.
You went through a terrible situation.
It was a very terrible situation, and we were shut down. And so it's not about wanting to see him.
So, by the way, you saw,
wanting to see him
without getting
down.
In details, my friend, you saw this wall of silence and politicizing an incident.
I saw
internally.
Lawyers taking over the Pittsburgh diocese. Yeah, yeah. And when the church is about money, if it's about money, we are woefully lost.
Yeah.
Woefully
so does he,
lost.
What do you suggest, though? Should he stay in place?
No.
No. Interesting.
No. And I feel for him. I feel for, you know, so many of these people. But it is the right thing to do.
I don't know yet.
You talk to him. What do you say to him? You've told him that he needs to step
down. Yeah, I did.
Right?
Yeah, I did.
See, T, you're saying it through the glass. You've told him.
Now it's on, but now, okay.
No,
I get it. No, you're both right. It's on me.
Right?
Sheesh. 866-391-1020. We're talking about Worrell stepping down, and now what does the Bishop of Pittsburgh?
Now, why are you hedging? I'm wondering. Why are you?
I love him as a friend.
I understand that, but 2 weeks ago, you were all,
No, I talked to him on the phone. I said, you should probably resign. I haven't talked to him since.
And now here we are, and now that's a real possibility, and you're struggling. Why?
Yeah, and I'm told he's really struggling.
Of course. This is not a bad guy. This is a good man. I believe in that. I do believe in that. Can I say the same for Cardinal Worrell? I'm sure that there are slices of him that are dynamite, but he's not like the touchy-feely, you know, approachable kind of guy.
So listen to this. So in all honesty, I got a text from the bishop on Monday. He read the article in the PG about my cancer. Mm-hmm. And praying for you, Marty. Great article in the paper. If there's anything I can do to support you in your healing, please call. There's Zubik. Here's my verbatim text. Dear friend, sometimes, not all the time, believe I'm here for a reason. Meanwhile, we are both being tested. He says, let's continue to pray for and with each other. He's in a bad place.
Right.
I don't know
Does
what
that
happened.
Soften your stance then?
No.
Does
no,
it?
I completely agree with you. It's just hard to say.
I know.
You know, it's like a family thing. 866-391-1020. Jump in here, folks.
Triple H.
So I've got Wendy Bell here.
Good morning.
About Worrell. So a couple of observations. And then we're talking about Zubik. So it's not about right and wrong anymore, now is it, Wendy?
No.
It's about cleaning the chalkboard clean. Right?
It's about doing everything you say you need to do, but actually getting it done.
To establish trust again.
You've lost trust.
So regardless of my personal feelings, because I love the man, because he's been so important in my life, it's time for him to walk away so that the church can move forward and we can trust that it has a future.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that's really the point.
Yes.
Interesting. And an astute
observation. What say these colors?
Yes, jump in here. Jeff in the South Hills, let us thank you for your patience. You have Wendy Bell.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hi.
Hey, listen, you know what? I've been a Catholic all my life. I left the faith for a while when I got married the first time, and then I met a great lady, got married, and one of the main reasons we got married back in a Catholic church, it was my second time getting married, my wife's first time, and she was born and raised Catholic, was because of the priest that we met. He's a great man, and we're losing him because of the turnaround, and you know they're moving everybody around.
Right.
But I had to think back, and when I went in and I read that report, the opposite of that. Me and my brothers were at St. Denise Church with Father O'Malley, and you guys probably know him being in the news. You probably remember he was excommunicated and started his own church years later.
I do.
He was at St. Denise, and I was there, and me and my brothers got together and would talk about it, and he used to take us to circuses and ball games and stuff, and I don't ever remember anything bad happening, but to find out that this happened, it's like the opposite of both worlds. And so now, you know, we have a 6-year-old and a 12-year-old, my wife and I, and you know, we're struggling whether or not, you know, we want to continue with CCD.
Yeah, Marty said the same thing. Yeah.
And I got to say, I mean, you know, Bishop Zubik's got to go. Even up to the Pope's got to, you know, the Pope's got to resign too. I mean,
This is an excellent observation. So one of his close associates wrote this 12-page letter that pretty much laid out his connection to this cardinal from D.C. that he knew he was molesting.
The Pope's connection.
Yes, the Pope's connection.
Okay.
And that there's a direct connection that he knew about, and he still promoted him. Folks from Washington, D.C., from the Catholic Church, flew to the Vatican to try to get the cardinal removed, and he refused to do it. And they're saying the Pope knew. If you clean house the way we're talking about clean house.
How high do you go?
Right on. Right on.
Jeff?
Jeff's right.
You have to go the whole way up. I'm sorry, Pope Francis hasn't, you know what, he, in my opinion, he's been a weak pope. I mean, not just because of this, but in other views that he takes and some things, which is irrelevant at this point.
It's okay. Let's stick on this.
He needs to go now because of what's going on in the church.
I get
now.
It. So, thanks. Great phone call. You sound like a great
man. I don't mean to sound naive, but I never even thought of going as high as that.
Well, it's been discussed. They've asked for his resignation, and he's talked about, he hasn't really talked about it much. He talked about global warming in Chicago.
That's more important.
It's a little strange. A little strange. Kathy White Oak, thanks for your patience. You have Wendy Bell.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
You know, my priest, Father Tom McKenna, was at St. Stanislav, and he was the one, he was on the list of the priests that were, you know, involved in this sexual thing, and he has Alzheimer's disease. He's in a home now. And, you know, I went to Duquesne University for paralegal studies, and Bishop Zubik came for Mass one day, and you couldn't even get a parking lot to go to the church. I went to church at noon every day, and there were only 20 or 30 people in the whole church in the Duquesne University, but when Bishop Zubik there, the place was full. You couldn't even find a place to park. You know, when I was in Washington, D.C. in December of 2015, it was right before the Pope got there. There were porta-johns everywhere. There were, like, the broadcast on the highway said, you know, the Pope's coming, beware
right.
the traffic. I want to know who pays for that. Who pays for all the porta-johns? Do the American taxpayer pay
sure,
for that?
Sure, of course. Were you talking about the parking to basically talk about the popularity of Bishop Zubik?
No, he came to Washington, D.C. to visit the
Yeah, but you're getting us off track. You're worried about parking.
No. I'm not talking about parking. I'm just saying when he came, everybody, all the highways had big, broad signs
right.
that say, be careful because the Pope is coming. The traffic's going to be terrible.
Okay, but,
I want to know who pays for all that. Does the American population
okay,
pay for
okay.
that?
Yeah.
No, I hear what, it's just not for today, I don't
yeah,
think.
Yeah, but let me, hold on, stop. Hold your breath for a second. And we're generalizing here, but generally, if there's a big event like that and they think it's going to drive dollars, then generally the municipality, the community, they eat it.
Yeah.
In fact, I was sitting in the room with a big dog who actually had, this is an absolute fact, I can't name his name because he'd get mad at me. He actually had lunch with the mayor of the Vatican, okay? And he's a big shot here in town. And he said, the Vatican called them and said, we're having this massive conference and we're having all these bishops come in and security's gonna cost $20 million. And the mayor of Rome
right.
had to pay for the security. So generally, Kathy, that's what happens, the municipality. But
I was in Rome four times.
Okay, thank you. We're done. Got to go. Appreciate you. Love you. Jeff and Allison Park, go ahead.
Hey, Marty. Thanks for taking my call.
Parking.
I wanted to suggest one thing.
Parking! Go ahead, buddy. Sorry, man. I digress, brother.
No worries. I agree with most of the callers, what they were saying as far as...
parking
and we're all needing to step down. I don't know about the Pope. That I don't know how much he knew and those type of things. Maybe there's other.
We probably don't, but I think he should walk away. Yeah.
I think if they want to do it right, they got to do it right. But you know what, my man, if you're going to do that, you got to get every cardinal in there that was doing bizarre things inside the Vatican. You got to wipe out hundreds of priests.
And by the way, they are all listed. They had those secret
right.
archives. They're not secret. This is all known.
And it was their own documents.
They need to make that public.
She's right.
Absolutely.
I agree. The thing I was going to suggest to the church community, because my heart goes out to all of the Catholics that are calling in, and I understand right. what it's like to become attached to our clergy and the good that they do. They can still continue to help the church and do good. They just don't do it in those.
Hold on, this is an amazing observation, my man. You can pray in the Walmart parking lot, and that's where they can pray, right. as far as I'm concerned. It's a great observation, my friend. All right, we're taking a break. We'll be right back. Hey, this is important stuff. In case you're just tuning in, Bishop Worrell, Cardinal Worrell, has officially resigned. There's discussion about what happens next. I also need to know from folks, does this renew your faith? Do you have new trust? And how does this affect the bishop here in Pittsburgh, David Zubik, who I've known since I was seriously 13 years old and love him as a friend, and we're very close. We're going to see what happens there. Hang in there, folks. We have a lot more to get to next hour.